I am teaching this morning, and Tricia will be next week. I taught for her a few weeks ago, and so it's always a treat to hear from her. So she will teach next week, and we'll be studying, of course, the coming of Jesus again, his return, which will be exciting. Thrilling to know that all this is true. As we celebrate Easter and the resurrection, and then the pouring out of his Spirit in us and with us, it's all true and real. And he will come again. And it will be just as real as you and I are having this time together today. And we will live with him forever. Exciting truths. This Easter weekend was wonderful. I think Easter is the most exciting weekend of the year. I just love it. And the service we attended, I thought, was one of the best that I have ever been to in my whole life. It was awesome. And very exciting. A little fun aside, have any of you ever put a peep in the microwave? That was a first this Easter for me. Yes, my sister, who works at the Girl Scouts up in Fort Collins, she and her husband were down. And she said, have you ever done that? I had never done that. And our kids, Mark and Patty, and the kids were there also. And she said, well, if things get boring at work or they're really stressed, someone will come out and they'll say, peeps in the microwave, and everybody will run back. And of course, you have to be careful not to leave it in too long, but it just gets puffier and puffier and bigger and bigger, and you have to watch it through the little window. So you might want to try that. Always something new. Before we begin our time together now, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we do celebrate you. Thank you that you are alive and you are with us. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit upon us and in us. Lord, we come thirsty this morning, and you promise if anyone asks, you will give them drink of the living water, by which you mean that your Spirit, and that out of us will flow streams, rivers of this living water. Refresh us today, Lord Jesus. Renew us, fill us, and flow through us. Guide us as we turn to your word and explore these incredible truths that are real today. Stir our hearts. Meet us in our longing for you. And we commit the time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, we celebrate these Easter truths. Christ's death, his resurrection. And we see changes in the disciples from that day and then, of course, Pentecost. And we know these truths intellectually, but do we feel like there might be a disconnect from what we celebrate this weekend to our lives today? Are we living any differently today than the disciples did before Easter? It may not feel like it sometimes. Do you feel like something is missing in your walk with the Lord, in your life? Do you hear about joy, a peace that passes understanding, an abundant life? Jesus said he gave his life so we would have. Are you experiencing that? The truths that we will look at this morning, I think, have a lot to do with that more that we're longing for. And it's Jesus' heart to give us of this Holy Spirit. This is what he died and was glorified then so that we would now have. We live now in the age of the Spirit. my way of thinking, the Old Testament was the age of the Father. Now, of course, all have always existed, all have been active. We have pre-incarnate manifestations of Jesus in the Old Testament. We have the activity of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But just generally, to me, the Old Testament is like the age of the Father. Then, when Jesus came and lived among us, was the age of the Son. And then when he was glorified and poured out his Spirit, we now have entered into and participate in today the age of the Spirit. Exciting. Real. And the Lord longs for there to be a difference in our lives today, just as there was in the apostles. And often there is. And we see, and I had lunch last week with a friend named Gail, and she was sharing some of her journey with me. And she said that when she first moved to Colorado Springs, she didn't know people and that, and she met a friend, and I'll tell that story in just a little bit, who invited her to come to a Bible study. It was actually one of our Young Life Women's Bible studies from ages ago, the beginnings of this. And she said that when she went in, and she really said yes, not because she wanted to study the Bible, that was kind of freaky to her, but she said that was an opportunity for her to meet some women, make some friends. So she attended, and she said as they talked, as she was with them, she could say they had something that she didn't have, that she longed for. And she came to find out that it was this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and asked him to be her Savior. And then we see that every person who receives Jesus as Savior has the Holy Spirit. We'll look at the scripture. So she saw a difference, a fragrance, something about them that she longed for. And then we also see powerful workings today of the Spirit, just like there was in Acts as we read that. Excuse me. And the Acts sometimes is referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, but they say more accurately, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And it's the same Holy Spirit today. And so we see that as I got an email from Yaqub. Remember Yaqub, who was here with us from Pakistan? Neat man. Last month, just a few weeks ago, they had a three-day crusade there. And it was in March. And it was at the same time as all the persecution from that cartoon. You know that Muslims were persecuting Christians, and there were Christians killed, their homes were burned. In the midst of that, Yaqub, along with other churches, including, he said it was just thrilling. They partnered with the Catholic Church, and he said it was just this powerful time in Pakistan. In the 3 days, they had 40,000 come, and many Muslims saw something's different. And they see that with the believers, that even in the midst of the persecution, they're not afraid. They're strong. They stand up and testify for their faith. They proclaim God's word. And there's healings. Yaqub wrote, and he said, a boy who had never been able to walk was healed and is walking. Others with shriveled arms are now whole. Many people with diseases, he said, came and were healed. And 8,000 people received Jesus as their Savior. 8,000 Muslims. And they said they don't know how many others, because it was broadcast throughout Pakistan. And then there were others outside. 40,000 were in the tent. And then thousands gathered outside the tent trying to hear. The Spirit is at work. And I feel it's just the beginning of some things that we're going to see in a real outpouring anew of God's Spirit. And I pray that we are a part of that. This is God's heart. And there's such a need. And he says, ask and keep asking, seek. And we see that each of us, if we have a personal relationship with Jesus, if we have asked him into our hearts, in which he says, if we ask, he rushes in. This is what he gave his life for. And then he says, he gives us his Spirit. We aren't sealed with the sign of a cross. We're given the very Spirit of Jesus to live in us. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, which we saw in our lesson. An active verb, alive. The Spirit of Jesus is alive in us, in his fullness. And that's documented in Ephesians 1, which you read in your lesson today, but would like to read just to document again that the truth. And Paul writes, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Guaranteeing it. We know, we are assured, we have eternal life. But we also know that we have his Spirit alive in us. The very same Spirit that was in the apostles. That has come down through history, empowering, enabling, filling believers. Sometimes we wonder, why don't we see that more today? If this is all true and we have the Holy Spirit in us, why do we not see a difference? We see that also, I was going to quote in here as well, that he's alive and that he's a person. Adoniram Judson Gordon, the founder of Gordon College, said that for a long time in his Christian life, he felt it was drudgery. And it was very difficult. Not a lot of joy, maybe a lot of work, burdensome. And then they were having a meeting, a conference, and he was participating in that with Dwight Moody. And Moody was talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, John Stott says we have one baptism, which is when we receive Christ, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. But he says there are many fillings, and we grow in this through our Christian life, in the experience of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And he said they were giving the theology of the Holy Spirit. But then some of the students started asking, well, what does the Holy Spirit do in your life? What is it like to walk with the Holy Spirit? And he said he kind of stepped to the back. He didn't know how to answer. And Dwight Moody got up there and started talking about the reality of the Spirit in his life and the experiences he's had with it and the anointing and the fillings. And Dr. Gordon said, I wanted that. I wanted more. And he opened he asked for a greater filling, a deeper experience, a real firsthand awareness of the reality of the Spirit in his life. For God's sake. for His glory. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He glorifies Jesus and draws us to Him. And on the table you have just a summary sheet of some of those things that the Spirit does. Now, many of those you had in your lesson, but there are a few others there. But a nice, concise compilation there to have of the reality of who He is in us. So he wrote his wife, and he said, after this meeting and that, he said, it was after much of all of this, he continued, of which there came one day a still voice of admonition saying, there standeth one among you whom ye know not. And perhaps I answered, who is he, Lord, that I might know him? I had known the Holy Ghost as a heavenly influence to be invoked, but somehow I had not grasped the truth that he is a person of the Godhead, who came down to earth at a definite time and who has been in the church ever since, just as really as Jesus was here. And then he said, he talks about the blessed Paraclete shall say, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me? And does he say that to us? Have I been so long with you? Have I lived so long in you? And yet you really don't know me? He's a person of the Godhead alive in us who longs to be released, longs that we would experience his fullness, and in that know the fullness of joy, the depth of peace, purpose and power in our lives to a greater degree. And of course, I believe we have a whole lifetime of growing in this. I long for more. And I know he promises this. It's a lifetime of growth. In John 7, as mentioned briefly, Jesus stood at the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles there and cried out to the crowds, recorded there on John 7, and that you have in your lesson. He stood and said in a loud voice, he wanted everyone to know, and this is what he proclaims this morning, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. It says, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But we live in that age of the Spirit. And this is what he longs for the Spirit to so fill us and so flow through us that others are impacted. The kingdom is expanded, that Jesus is glorified, that people are drawn to him. Exciting. But we see the streams of living water that are to flow from within us, but does it get dammed up? What hinders that from flowing from within us sometimes? There are many things. One, willful sin clogs that channel. Disobedience. But also, we can set limits and not yield to him so that his Spirit can flow. My dad, I saw, was one of these, as I've shared different stories of my experiences growing up. And now my dad was a believer. He had received Jesus after I was an adult. And that was great. He had eternal life. The Spirit was real. However, he quenched God's Spirit. And we can do this. And we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Holy Spirit in you. Don't quench it. But maybe there are reasons that we're a little afraid of it. We think, what would my life look like? Or what would people think? Or what would happen if I just totally yielded to the Lord and let His Spirit fill me and flow through me to greater and greater degrees? Would I lose some friends? Or would I look foolish? Or what would people think? Or who knows what things we might be concerned about, that we quench the Spirit. Maybe we don't want to be really different, just a little different. So we set limits. We say, okay, Holy Spirit, here, you know, do some work in me, but not too much. We quench him. And he says, yield to me wholeheartedly, fully. Let me fill you. Also, we can resist the working of the Spirit to purify us, to refine us. I did that. I've shared little examples from the past of the years that I went through a dark experience that I call the way of the cross. And it was a painful time. And that passage in Philippians 3 that I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, maybe not that part, Lord. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of the resurrection. But then there's that part also, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And part of that is the disciplining that he does in us. As we die to self, as we experience the cross. Now, the self that gets in the way so much of the Spirit that keeps it from flowing. And so Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. And he wants to work a work of the cross in us. Then we can experience in greater fullness the reality of the resurrection life in us. It's for our good. We're told in Hebrews 12, 10 through 12, that the Father disciplines us for our good, that we might share in His holiness. And it says, those that submit to that discipline will reap a harvest of righteousness and peace. It's for our good. And we know with our kids, we discipline them for their good. We know their behavior will be hurtful either to them or to others. And so they need to experience some discipline, but it's for their good. And our Heavenly Father does that too, and He is perfect. So He disciplines us, rightly so, in love and with our good in mind. And so as I went through that way of the cross, which again is always a continual work, but in that time frame, at first I resisted. I said, no, this is, and I didn't know at first really what was going on. I just knew it was a difficult time and there was a lot of pain I was feeling. So I just wanted God to get rid of it and free me from it and let's move on with the good things of life. But as I resisted and resented and rebelled and said no, it got worse. It was more painful. I had no peace until finally I came to recognize that the Lord was wanting to use that pain, use the difficult time to do a good work in me by His Spirit. So I said yes, and then yielded, submitted to the discipline, and said, use this pain, Lord, for your good purposes, that I would share in your holiness, that I would be filled less with self and more of your Spirit. And every once in a while in that period of time, I would get a little glimpse that God was at work. His Spirit in me was working. It was quietly, But he promises he will do this for each of us as we offer whatever it is we're going through and say, redeem it. Let it be productive, not destructive. Use it for your good purposes in me. And that as we share in his holiness and as he refines and purifies and fills us more with his Spirit, as he purges us more of self, I found that, yes, my joy was increasingly greater. My peace was getting deeper. And I got glimpses that he'd been at work in me. I didn't react the same way as I used to. The Spirit's at work. And he promises to do the work that he desires to do in us if we give him permission. So that's our role, to submit. His role will be to do the work. But we can resist. That's quenching God's Spirit. We can say, no, I don't want to go through this. Jackie, I'm getting some feedback. I don't know. What do I need to do? This box? So it's this box right here that's doing that? Okay, what about this box? Okay, thank you. So we have that choice of resisting and saying no. Madame Jean Guyon said so many people turn back in the Christian life. They don't want God doing that work in them. They want eternal life and some of the blessings of knowing Jesus, but talk about resurrection power. And the filling of God's Spirit and an outflow of His Spirit and a transformed life, well, maybe we don't have to go that far. But we miss out when we quench the Spirit. And it grieves God, which we will also look at. He is a person who can be grieved. And as we quench Him, that grieves Him. So we can resist his working, but also we quench him by not spending time with him. Because it's as we are with him and walk with him daily that he's able to do that work. As we spend time in his word, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word of God is at work in you who believe. As we feed on that word, the Spirit takes it and makes it reality in us. He feeds our spirit with it. And when we don't get in that environment very much, we're quenching him. I was with someone also who was saying that she prays every time she comes to a red light, which is great, except that's the only time she prays. And that's fine, but we miss out. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In us, working, taking his word, fellowshipping with him as we with unveiled face and our times together here, which is, you know, I know this is your heart also. You know, we have our house on the market and we'll be moving, coming up here whenever. It's turned out to be a long process with this house, longer than we anticipated. But, so the house is on the market. In fact, this morning, you can all pray that they're showing the house this morning. So I was trying to declutter before we put it on the market. And so I was moving. We have some big plants. And I thought, well, we'll get this big plant out of the way. And I put it downstairs. And there were some windows down there. And I thought, well, this will do. Well, pretty soon it stopped thriving. And its leaves started turning brown. And it looks like it was dying. That was not an environment that was conducive to that plant thriving. It needed more sun. So I ended up bringing it back upstairs and getting it in a good environment with more sun. And we need more sun, S-O-N. And as we are with him, that's an environment conducive to thriving. But if we stay out of that environment, it's quenching God's Spirit. We're not placing ourselves there where he can work as well. Billy Graham talks about the importance of this abiding, staying close. You know, we're told, apart from him, we can do nothing. It's got to be his life in us, flowing through us, that accomplishes his purposes, and of course that fills us with him. Billy Graham writes, "Abiding and obedience are the keys to a successful Spirit-dominated life. It is never a question of how much you and I have of the Spirit, but how much he has of us. Are we yielding for him to fill us?" And he says, "Our home is supplied by a reservoir fed by two mountain springs. These two springs on the mountain above the house never fluctuate. Rainy season or dry, they remain the same. We draw on the water as we need it, and the springs continually flowing into the reservoir keep it filled to overflowing." He says that is literally what it means to be filled with the Spirit, which is what we're exhorted to do in Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. This is his heart. He's given it to us as a deposit, and his fullness lives in there. But we need to nurture it, yield to it, allow him to do the work. Stay in his presence and be filled to overflowing. Then he says the Greek verb used in this command, Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, carries with it the idea that we should keep on being filled with the Spirit. This is a continual verb tense, continual daily action. We aren't just filled once. Daily drink of his Spirit and be filled with him. We are already the temple of God, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but he wants to fill us. However, he can only fill those who wish to be emptied of self and yielded to him. Therefore, this act of surrender must continue day by day. Daily. Yield to him. Say, "Lord, I am yours. This day is yours." And we're told in Galatians 5:25, keep in step with the Spirit. Walk in him. Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and move and have our being by God's Spirit in us. And as I said, we can grieve the Spirit. We can do this individually and then corporately as a church, as a body. As I said, grieve is a love word. Only someone who loves can be grieved by someone. And you know, I've asked for prayers for our son Scott and his wife Steph. This has been a grief to me, seeing them struggle. I didn't love them so much. Oh well. But because I love them so much, it grieves me to see some of the choices that they make. You know, I continue to be praying. And for the Lord, he is a father, and we are his children. And as we make choices sometimes that aren't what he would have for us, aren't the best, he says it grieves him. And then we're told in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with which you were sealed for redemption. Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. Don't grieve him. He is alive in us and wants to be fully manifested in us to greater and greater degrees. And if we've been doing this, and ask the Lord, show me bring to light, open my eyes to ways that I'm grieving you or quenching you. And then process that with him. Are we afraid to yield? Do we want to set these limits and say, oh, come, fill this far, but that's all, more or less? Talk with him about this. He knows. He knows everything that's going on. And he says, come to me. And we know his mercies are new every morning. We have new beginnings. He freely forgives as we say, Lord, forgive me. I've been grieving you, or I've quenched you. He freely forgives. He told the woman at the well in John 4, a woman that he knew what her lifestyle was. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. But he said to her, if you only knew who it was who asked you for the drink, a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. Freely. Ask. And we're told in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So today we can say, forgive me. And I yield to you. Fill me, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit. For our good, for your glory, for the furthering of your kingdom, for real life. So he freely forgives. And as he gives us his Spirit, he says he gives us fresh power in our lives. Jesus told his disciples this in Acts, as we read. You know, wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And when he is poured out, you will receive power. It is that same Spirit that lives in you and in me. We will receive power. Power to do and power to be. And we see this power to do. It's not our power. None of this is. It's his. He is the powerful one. Jesus tells us in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we think, well, Lord, I've been doing lots of stuff here. He means of eternal value. John 3:6, he says, flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. It has to be the flow of his Spirit through us. It has to be the Spirit working in us to give life. It's his power to flow through and make a difference. We can't do this in our own strength. That's why Jesus had to die and be resurrected. And when he was ascended then and glorified, then he could pour out the Spirit. And it's his Spirit that brings life and power and accomplishes his purposes. We're told in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure of his life, his Spirit, in jars of clay, so that this all-surpassing power to be of God and not of us. Then he is glorified. It is his power. It's exciting and it's real. And he desires for it to find fuller and fuller expression in our lives to increasing degrees. He says, if we just yield, ask, submit, he will do it. This is his heart for us and for this world. And we can grieve the Spirit corporately as a church. You know, so often we get busy doing things in our own strength, coming up with our own programs and ways of doing things rather than dependence on the Spirit. And let it be the Spirit released. Then we see power. Power to do. Now sometimes this power is very real and seen and dramatic. I love dramatic. I'd love to see the outpouring in dramatic ways all the time. And we do see it some. But often the Spirit works quietly, but is just as powerful. But it's subtle. Answers to prayer. Significant things, and they're little things that we see in our days of God's provisions. And it's real. We're told in James 5 that the prayer of a righteous person, one who's right with God, is powerful and effective. So there's power in prayer. The Lord says as we grow closer to Him and I walk in oneness with Him, He imparts His mind to us, reveals what His purposes are. Then we pray and power is released in the Spirit because we've been praying according to God's purposes. Jesus says, you know, that as we abide in Him, He says, then ask what you will and it will be done. Because we're one. We're moving in the same purposes. This is how Jesus walked. So it's staying in tune with Him. And the Spirit is poured out to accomplish His purposes. Oh, it's late. More ways. You know, He says, we've been given the weapons that to demolish strongholds that have divine power. That's the Spirit. In Luke 11, a passage that is a lot on prayer, He talks about binding the strong man. And only when someone more powerful than that strong man, the enemy, Satan, has a hold of somebody, only when someone stronger and more powerful comes can He bind up that strong man and rescue that person. That's the Holy Spirit. As we pray, ordering our steps on a daily basis, freedom and restraint. We've talked a lot about that in here. This is one of my greatest joys of seeing the Lord, His Spirit, so actively involved in our days, ordering our steps. The encounters with people. I had a story I was going to tell you, but I realize we're running a little short on time. Exciting. Reality. And then God gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and His Spirit becomes more and more real. We say, yes, it's true. His Spirit is alive. And this is how the apostles walked, with the freedom and the restraint on a daily basis. Galatians 5:25. Since you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Powerful living. Exciting. Purpose in our days. Also, He imparts strength to us by His Spirit. This is a real empowering and enabling of the Spirit. Strength for our days. In the midst of the difficulty. You know, as I was preparing this lesson, I realized something that I had never realized before. And isn't that fun how the Lord does that? In that 2 Corinthians 4, it says we have this treasures in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. In that same paragraph, it doesn't break paragraphs, continues with that thought. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. By the power of His Spirit in us. Romans 8:37 goes through this list of persecutions and struggles and difficulties. And then he says, but in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. More than conquerors in the midst, not just survivors, not in just some things, but he says all things. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. strengthening us, enabling us. Peace, imparting peace in the midst of pain or grief. Our dear Florence back here is a wonderful example of that. Going through those days of with her husband dying of cancer and the grief in that and the struggles and that. Yes, she grieved. Yes, she had pain. Yes, it was difficult. But we all were with her and saw the beauty of the peace of Jesus and her countenance. The Spirit in her, giving her peace that passes understanding. And then through that with her dad, and good to have you back. But what a testimony to the reality of the power of the Spirit to carry her through that time in a very real and powerful way. And people were impacted because of that. They could see the difference. And people were drawn to Jesus because of the reality of his Spirit in Florence. They wanted that. That's what it is, walking with the Spirit. Exciting, just as in the days of old. Free from fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the future. Fear in the midst of trauma. My friend, I don't know if you saw her on the news a few weeks ago, she was in the house when the house was burglarized, and she said, I wasn't afraid. She went and she hid in the closet, and she said she was sitting there, and she said Willie, her little cat, was sitting right outside the door looking in her. She said, go away, go away. She took her cell phone with her and called her husband and said, call 911. He said, why didn't you call 911? But she called her husband, and she said, he broke the window, and then she heard something fall over, and she says, you know, he's in the house. And they got the police and everything. But she says, you know, I was never afraid. The presence of the Holy Spirit was with her. And there was no fear in the midst of that. The presence of God. We talk about, you know, being aware of his presence. That's the Spirit. And he says he is with us and he will never leave us. And he is in us in a very real and living way. And longs to be released, to do in us all that he desires to do. Also to proclaim him. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Power to proclaim him and share him. Also power to be, and we need to finish up here, power to be, transformation. In that passage, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being changed from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So as we yield and submit, his power transforms us. It's the same verb in that, or used in scriptures as in the metamorphosis of Christ on the transfiguration, and in this passage here of being transformed, is the same word as a caterpillar to a butterfly. That metamorphosis, we know a caterpillar just yields. And there is a process at work within it that does the transformation, and it emerges a butterfly. Same truth. The Spirit is within us, and he says, yield. And by his power, as we do so, he transforms us little by little in a very real way that brings true life. And he says, and then there's this fragrance, and there's more, I'll just skip it. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, I think, shows what he can do in us by his power. Is now to him who is able to do far more than all you ask or imagine, according to his power, his Spirit that is at work within us, to him be the glory. He longs to bring us into the fullness of who He created us to be. He longs to bring us into the fullness of walking with Him in oneness and being filled with Him to overflowing, to experience all that He came and gave His life for, that we would experience in Him. So He says, ask. That Luke 11 passage, powerful, shows persistence. Keep asking, keep knocking, don't be denied. More, Lord, more of me filled with you. And Jesus himself says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's a gift. In his grace, he says, ask, yield, persevere. And we will find gradually more and more fullness of life with him as we do this. Greater fullness of him in us. And some other things I was going to quote there. But we need to ask. In Judges, this has always been a principle. In Judges 1, this little obscure passage, Aksa, she was Caleb's daughter. And they came into the promised land. And she said to her father, you've given me land, now give me also springs. And he said, because you have asked, I will do that. And he gave her these springs also. And I think that's our heart. Lord, you've given me this land of promise with Jesus. Give me also springs that flow more and more fully in me, through me. Let me drink of you more deeply. More, Lord, more of your Spirit. I'm thirsty. The other night I was awake and thirsty for him and feeling barren, and I was reading the scriptures, and Isaiah 41 says, he shall make rivers flow on barren heights. I said, that's me, Lord. Make rivers flow, not just streams of living water, rivers, Lord. And I said, I wasn't going to bed. I was up several hours in the night until you pour out this living water. I'm thirsty for you. There wasn't any real experience, but I felt myself refreshed, renewed, peace, refreshed. It's real. It says, if you would but ask, I would give you. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This is his promise. So then as we do, the results that we experience are this joy. He says, I've told you these things that my joy, Jesus says, would be in you, and that your joy would be full. Peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. That our peace would be deep, that passes understanding in the midst of whatever circumstances we are experiencing. That the fruit of the Spirit be more manifested in us, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness, would be more and more manifested in a real way in our lives. And that fruit of an eternal nature would be born in us, our life would have meaning and purpose. That he would be glorified. And it would last for eternity. Real. And also that we have oneness with him. We get to know him better. He is the treasure. And then we are a delight to him. Oh, the joy that he experiences. Just as we can grieve him, we can bring him joy. As we yield, as we allow him to do in us all that he desires, is we ask for a greater filling of His Spirit that delights Him. Ask Him to teach us how to walk in that daily, yielding, surrendering, being filled, spending time with Him, asking, drinking, seeking, enjoying Him, fellowshipping with Him. And as we do, He promises that by His Spirit at work within us, He will transform us and enable and empower us. And we will experience that abundant life He came to give. Let's give Him thanks. Lord, we praise You that You freely pour out Your Spirit to each of us. And Lord, we're thirsty today. Fill us, Lord Jesus. We ask. We yield. Lord, You know what's going on with us, and You know our circumstances, and if we have fears about Your working in us by Your Spirit, bring those to light and meet us in there. Show us truth of who You are, that we need not fear. Lord, we pray for the filling of Your Holy Spirit, the enabling and the empowering and the transforming, that we would glorify You, not just in what we do, but in who we are, transformed by Your Spirit to glorify You and be a delight to You. Lord, we praise You that this is Your desire. And You promise, if we would but ask, You would give us Your Holy Spirit in greater fullness. And we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to small groups.